Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. You know, you don't normally hear that. You really never hear that. It's always TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. And I understand the sentiment of that. We're excited about the weekend. But as Christians, we really need to have a TGIT. Thank God it's today, because every day is special. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Or, as the KJV says, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, you can make, regardless of what's going on in your life, you can make the choice to rejoice. So as I was thinking about the weekend, I had such a great weekend, and we had a great weekend at church. My weekend started, I had the radio program on Friday, and a great interview with Joe Dallas. If you missed that, I encourage you to go to AFR.net to the podcast and listen to that interview with author Joe Dallas. He talked about his life. He's a militant homosexual who came to know Christ in 1984, and now God is using him in great ways as he's an author, a speaker, a counselor, and has just some great stuff. Brand new book called Cancel Culture. And you can check that out online and go to joedallas.com, I think, .com or .org, and you find out information from him. But then finished my sermon outline and met Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, American Family Radio. He was in town, and we got to play golf together, and that was a lot of fun. And Tim is he's a better golfer than I am, but he hits bad shots too, like I do. And I tell people all the time, I love golf, but I don't have the golf gene. And for some people, you know, they can pick up golf. I have a good friend of mine, Bobby Fisher. He started playing golf from baseball as, I think, late teenager, early 20s. And he, you know, within a couple of years, he's shooting in the 70s. Well, I've been playing golf for many, many years and haven't ever, you know, I shoot in the 70s by the turn. And so anyway, but I love golf, and we had a great time together. And then Saturday was just a rainy, rainy day in Texarkana. Wasn't a whole lot to do. Debbie and I watched the movie Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo. It's a true story about an attorney who goes up against DuPont. And I would encourage you to watch that movie. I can't think it came out in 2020 or something like that, but it's a story of DuPont, the big giant chemical company, poisoning the water in Parkersburg or something like that, Ohio, little town in Ohio, killed all the cattle that this farmer had, and then it ended up poisoning the water supply, and these people were getting cancer, and ends up suing them. They never take responsibility as far as admitting that they did that, although their own records show, yeah, we knew that this stuff we were making for Teflon was poisoning. It was poison, and it would cause deformities, and it would cause cancers. And they said that 99% of the people, this is the stat from the true stat that came out in the movie, and then you can Google it and look it up, but that people have this substance, this C8 is what they called it, in their blood. And everybody has been tainted with this. And it's just sickening. I tell you what, you watch that and you see the lies and the cover-up by big business. And I tweeted out the other day, and I put on Facebook, I said, you know, you have, I used to think that big business, I worked for Nalco Chemical Company for 10 plus years, and we made chemicals, I thought, to help businesses and, you know, to do good. I used to think that big business, big pharma, and big government were there to help people. I don't believe that anymore. I think that the love of money has so polluted and destroyed anybody who's in the leadership positions there, that the care for people is way down the line. What is paramount is making money. And in government, it's money mixed with power, and power is probably trumps even the love of money. But it's a sick mess. when you put money over lives. And that's what the Bible says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And those who long for it have wandered away from the faith and have wounded themselves and hurt themselves and pierced themselves with many pangs, many a pang, as it says in the New American Standard Bible. So, Sunday was a great day. We had a great day in church, and we had membership class. We do that once a quarter, have a membership class. We had 76 people that came to our membership class. We had I got to pray with a lady, a dear lady, to receive Christ and really settle her salvation. She's going to get baptized this next Sunday. We baptized three in church. We had four that were saved in church. So just a great day all around, and we give the Lord all the praise. Well, I wake up this morning, and I try and have a quiet time in the Psalms, and read a proverb, and then other places in the Bible. But for years, I've said, okay, I'm going to try and read five Psalms a day. You know, Psalms, 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. If you read five a day, you read through the book of Psalms every month. And if you read a proverb a day, you read through Proverbs every month. And I realize that, you know, I'm not legalistic about that. I have to do it, but that's my goal. And when you hit Psalm 119, Psalm 119 has a lot of verses, I think off memory, 176. And so that can be difficult. Sometimes that's going to take me even more than one day just to get through that one psalm. But today was Psalm 100. And I was thinking about this psalm is so important for a Christian, especially on Monday, TGIM. Thank God it's Monday, TGIT. Thanks God it's today. And it says this, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us. And he made us male or female. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100, just five verses, but so important. And the emphasis of Psalm 100 and what God wants from his children. As it says in another book in Psalms, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I still remember a little story that my preaching professor, Wayne McDill, who is a dear friend and somebody that's had a profound impact on my life. It's kind of interesting. He was my preaching professor at Southeastern Seminary back in 1996. And the very first time I met him, it was at a faculty student mixer before the fall semester. And Debbie told me, she said, that guy is going to be very instrumental in your life. And I said, how do you know that? She said, I just sense it. I just feel like the Lord put that in my heart. That guy's going to be influential in your life. And she was right, and he's been very influential in my life, and I give credit a lot of my preaching, the effectiveness of my preaching to him, because I took preaching class from him that very first semester. It was hard, but it was so good. Anyway, Wayne McDill was talking in class one day, and he said that his son, he had four kids, and his son came down one day when he was, I don't know, probably 10 or something like that. And he came down grumpy. And Wayne is he's a very choleric guy and, you know, doesn't put up with a lot of nonsense. And so his kid was coming down grumpy, mumbling, grumbling, griping about something. And Wayne said, hey, you go back upstairs and you come down with a smile on your face. You come down with joy and with gladness and with thanksgiving, because you're not going to come to my breakfast table and sour the mood with your grumbling, griping, complaining, everything's bad, everything's terrible, everything's awful. And, you know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, for an earthly dad, an earthly parent, we don't like to see our kids in foul moods. And we say, hey, go back upstairs, put on, you can, as my father-in-law used to say, he was a pastor for over 50 years in Houston, you can get glad in the same clothes you got mad in. and you put on a smile and you quit looking at the glass half empty and start looking at the glass half full and make the choice to rejoice. You know, that's the choice that all of us have. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, not with gloom, but with gladness. Not with hopelessness, but with hope. He's the God of hope. Come before him with joyful singing for all that he's done. As it says at the end of that psalm, verse 5, why are we joyful? Why are we shouting to him with joy? Why are we glad? Why are we thankful? Why are we praising him? Why are we blessing his name? Because he's good. For the Lord is good. Hey, do you believe that the Lord is good? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste, you do see that the Lord is good. And his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, God's love, that word in Hebrew, loving kindness, hesed, it's repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Interestingly, it's not used in the New Testament, although in the New Testament we have the word grace. And God's grace is his love and kindness mixed together with his mercy. And he is faithful. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. His loving kindness is everlasting. And God does love you. And regardless of what's going on in your life, you can rejoice because the Lord is good and because the Lord's love for you never fails. Now, you probably heard this said, but it's worth repeating. God has chosen to love you, not anything based in you. He doesn't love us because we're good. He doesn't love us because we're doing well. He doesn't love us because we're praying more or reading our Bible more or witnessing to our neighbor. You know, God says, well, I just loved you a little bit, but now I love you so much more. No, his love is constant. And there's nothing you can do to get God to love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you any less. Now, God is pleased with us when we walk in his ways. He's pleased with us when we're seeking his face, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we can please God or we can displease God. You know, Enoch had that testimony. He was the first one that was taken up to heaven. He never faced death. He was not, for God took him. But before God took him, the Bible says he obtained this testimony that he pleased God. What a great testimony. Now, as we walk with the Lord, we can please him, and that needs to be the desire of every Christian. I want to please the one who died for me in agony and blood and then rose again from the dead. But God doesn't love you more when you're pleasing him and love you less when you're failing and doing poorly. His loving kindness is constant and it is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. God is a faithful God. That was our theme for Share-a-thon, the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. You know, when you're tempted, the scripture reminds us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. We rejoice at the faithfulness of God. Hey, are you able to say, TGIM, thank God it's Monday? And tomorrow, are you able to say, TGIT, thank God it's Tuesday? Or just thank God it's today? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. God is good, and God is love, and God loves you, and God is faithful. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against a break, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away.
This
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And for those of you that don't know, I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And we are celebrating this year, 2024, we're celebrating our 20th year as a radio and television ministry at From His Heart Ministries. So that's an exciting milestone for us. Started on a shoestring, started with two guys providing seed money, and $35,000 total, where we got the ministry off the ground. Pretty amazing story that we were able, from that small beginning. The Lord says in the book of Zechariah, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And from that small beginning, the Lord blessed and the Lord has grown the ministry. I've never taken any money from His Heart. I'm a volunteer and a generous supporter of From His Heart Ministries. And I think that's one of the reasons that, plus we stay true to the Word of God. We preach the Word. We don't stutter, stammer, or equivocate. Thus says the Lord, and God blesses as a result of that. Well, we're talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100. That's a great psalm to memorize and then to put into practice. You know, it doesn't do us any good if we spend time in the Word of God and we don't do it. James says, hey, if you do that, you're a forgetful hearer instead of an effectual doer. So we take in the Word of God and then we do what it says. Well, Philippians chapter 2 is similar to this about us rejoicing, because having a spirit of rejoicing, rejoice in the Lord always, Paul told the Philippians, and again I will say, rejoice, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. Now, he had told them earlier in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, do all things. How many things? All things. Do all things without grumbling or disputing or arguing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. You know what gets people's attention is when you're not a grumbler, when you're not a griper, when you're not a complainer. Do all things without grumbling. That is an interesting word, one of my favorite Greek words. I learned this years ago from Chuck Swindoll. The word grumbling is the Greek word gogusmos, spelled G-O-G-G-U-S-M-O-S, and that's one of those onomatopoeias. That's a word that sounds like its meaning, gogusmos. It sounds like grumbling. And, you know, we think about the Old Testament, God's Old Testament people that came out of Egypt. But what were they doing? They would always grumble and gripe and complain, and they grumbled against Moses. You know, the Lord told them in Numbers chapter 14, they're not grumbling against you, Moses, they're grumbling against me. All grumbling really comes back to the Lord. He hates it. Do all things, not some things, not most things, but all things without gogusmos, without grumbling. And we're good at grumbling. That's our default setting. But here's the thing. If you're not a grumbler, if you're a praiser, if you're a person who practices Psalm 100 and shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth, you come down the stairs, as I shared in that illustration from Dr. Wayne McDill, as his son came down grumpy, well, you got to go back up and you get glad in the same clothes you got mad in, and you come back and you say, well, I'm going to choose to rejoice in this. I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, here's the thing. If you're a praiser, if you're a person who rejoices, if you're a person who is genuinely thankful, and you recognize that God is over all things, Be anxious for nothing, it goes on to say in Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, your supplications, your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. So when we don't grumble and we choose to rejoice and we choose to be thankful, what does it say? You prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's the world we live in today. It is very crooked. It is very perverse. It is very wicked. That's what that word means. And it's distorted and it's corrupt and that, I mean, we're just, that's the environment that we live in. This crooked and perverse generation, well, we appear as lights in the world. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So don't put your light under a bushel basket, put it on a lampstand. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Well, I did the funeral last week for a dear, dear lady in our church, Joanne Upton. She was born and raised in Hawaii and moved to the mainland when she was a teenager into California and then ended up in Texarkana, Texas. And such a great lady, such a powerful witness for the Lord. And I shared this in her funeral. One of the reasons that Joanne was such a wonderful witness for Jesus was that she was not a complainer. She was a praiser. She had such a beautiful, wonderful countenance. She didn't have an easy life. She had a lot of difficulties, especially toward the end, as she had to battle cancer and went through this horrible surgery where they took out half her jaw and replaced it with a femur bone, a portion of her femur bone, put it in there. And so painful, it was so hard for her to even eat. And it was just very, very difficult. But she never dwelt on that. She never griped. She never grumbled. She never complained. She was just such a joy to be around. She was such an encourager. She was such a breath of fresh air. And listen, as the scripture says, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus goes every place we go when we're walking in the light with him. She was like that. You just love to be around Joanne because she just smelled like this wonderful smell, like this, you know, if you ever are baking, go by a kitchen that's baking bread. Just the smell of that, it's just so wonderful. There's just something about baked goods that smells so great. Well, that's the sweet aroma in a way. That's a kind of an illustration of the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus. When somebody is really walking with the Lord, you notice it. You notice there's something different about them. Their outlook on life is totally different. And that should be for every Christian. God wants to use us in great ways. Now, if we're grumbling and griping and disputing and arguing and always upset and complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about the other. Now, obviously, we point these things out on American Family Radio, and we need to. We need to alert ourselves. We need to be like the sons of Issachar who understood the times and what Israel should do. But if we're just grumbling about things in life, just regular things in life, difficulties in life, the traffic, and you're just grumbling, griping, complaining about all that, rather than just saying, Lord, praise the Lord that you've given me a car to drive, and Lord, I praise you that you've given me, health to live another day, and this is another opportunity to make a difference, to shine for Christ, and to share what great things the Lord has done for me. And I tell people this often, the greatest witness for Jesus is not when everything is going well. The greatest witness is when life is hard and you're hurting and you're still rejoicing and you're still praising him and you're still declaring that the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. That gets people's attention. Because, hey, if you just win some big sweepstakes and they come to your door with $1 million, well, who can't get excited about that? But when the bottom drops out, when the doctor says you have cancer, when a loved one dies, when tragedy strikes, and you're still able to praise the Lord, even if it's through tears, but there's still joy there man, that gets people's attention. That's why one of my favorite Christians of all is Johnny Erickson Tada. And the best witness I've ever seen was when she was on Larry King Live probably, I don't know, 25 years ago. And she was able to witness to him, and he was not able to poke holes in her witness because he's looking at this lady who's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair who has joy, who trusts the Lord, who talks about the goodness of God. And he just was there speechless, so to speak, as he just stared at her saying, how do you do this? Well, she says, I do it through the strength the Lord gives me by his Spirit, and I'm trusting him every day. And that is why she's one of my all-time favorites and a hero in the faith. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, you have a comment, I'd love to talk to you. We're talking about rejoicing in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, praise is an effective weapon against the enemy. You know, God inhabits, Psalm 22, the praises of his people. And if you will start praising the Lord and start rejoicing in the Lord and start shouting joyfully to him and start rehearsing in your mind all the great things God has done for you and all the great things that God has done in the past, you rehearse his track record. It helps you to walk by faith and not by sight. I was talking to my middle daughter, and they have two sweet little boys. Debbie and I are going to get to see those boys on Friday. We're doing a marriage conference for Houston's First Baptist Church in their newlywed and close class, and we've done that. This is now the third year that we're going to be doing that in Round Top, Texas, which is the antique capital of the world, I'm told. And anyway, I was talking to Amy because they want to have another child, and it's been a little slower this time. And I said, Amy, just think back of the track record of the Lord. God has been faithful to you throughout your life to answer your prayer in his time, not your time. And so just trust him because he's got this all under control. Well, let me just encourage you with this also. I was thinking about this in my discussion with Joe Dallas, talking about the Christian life. You know, Joe came out of a homosexual, militant homosexual lifestyle, and he was on staff at a gay-affirming church with a lesbian pastor. I mean, you can't get any more LGBTQIA plus than that. And he said there was an adrenaline rush when he would be in these marches and things. But he got convicted over his sin, came to know Christ in a real way, and he turned from that. He's married, has two sons, and he walks with the Lord. But he said, now the victorious Christian life is not a life without temptation. It's not a life without difficulty. It's not a life without struggle. You know, I think we can see that in the Old Testament. We get pictures of things in the Old Testament, pictures of spiritual realities that we deal with. Well, we see them in physical realities in the Old Testament. And one of those is the fighting that the Israelites had to do in the Promised Land. You know, you have pictures. You have the Egypt, which is a picture of sin, and you need to be delivered from Egypt, just like every lost person needs to be saved. And how were they delivered from Egypt? They came through out of Egypt with the Passover lamb, the 10th plague. And they would take the lamb and they'd slay the lamb, and they put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel, the top part of the door. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he went and killed all the firstborn. The death angel came through and did that. But those who believed God and put the blood on their doorposts, they were saved. And Israel was led out of Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. And that's a picture of salvation. And the Lord is our Passover lamb. And they were supposed to go in the Promised Land, which is a picture of the abundant life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly, John 10:10. But they didn't go in because of unbelief. So they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. Now, the wilderness kind of living is a Christian who is living like the Corinthians. It's carnal Christianity. And Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly. Since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not still fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? The wilderness wanderings is a Christian who is not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. They're walking like they're not saved, even though they are saved. And so there's the picture, Egypt is a picture of being lost, and the wilderness is a picture of I am not appropriating what I have in Jesus. And then there's the promised land. And the promised land is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. But what you find in the promised land is the promised land is not a vacant piece of property. The promised land is a place where there are enemies and there are battles to fight and there are giants there. And you have to face off with those giants in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does God give us? He gives us the armor of God to put on every single day so that we can walk in victory. Finally, Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Have you put your armor on today? You know, we start the day rejoicing in the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. And we put on the armor of God. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to talk to you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve on AFR Talk. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about rejoicing in the Lord, waking up in the morning and saying, hey, I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. I'm going to shout joyfully to the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord today with gladness, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how hard it may be. My God is in control. The Lord sat as king at the flood, Psalm 29. The Lord sits as king forever. And the king, if you're a Christian, the king is your dad. The king is your father who purchased your salvation through the blood of his own son, through his death, burial, and resurrection. He loves you. The Bible says we do not have a high priest, Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, when you and I start our day praising God and thanking God and rejoicing in the Lord and shouting joyfully to him, man, that blesses his heart. And that is such a great way to magnify the Lord. Psalm 34, a psalm of David, is one of my favorites. And Psalm 34 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So have you blessed the Lord yet today? Is his praise continually in your mouth? Do that today. Say, Lord, I want to praise you continually today. I want to take out the grumbling. I want to take out the griping. I want to take out the complaining. I want to take out all the negative. And I want to start praising you and trusting you and letting my light shine, because what comes out of your mouth and your countenance is a great witness for the Lord. Well, we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor. I just love to praise God, you know, just about in the morning tonight. It's good. A good thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to do because you can, that's why I don't understand why people say they have a doubt in their mind that they're saved or not. Because, see, when you praise God, you can, the Spirit of God is inside of you. He will witness the quickening inside your body. He lives inside of you. He witnesses inside of you. So it's like a quickness, however you say that word. But you understand what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
So the Spirit of God is... That's why, you know, if you praise God when you don't feel good, praise God when you do feel good. It doesn't matter any circumstances. Just praise God. And
that's
also,
right.
I have another question. I called you last month to try to get hold of, but you was too busy. But I was trying to ask you, would you play that movie, show that movie, rather, about... about the letter to the American church.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you ever did that or not. Did you ever get around to doing that to your congregation?
We did. We did that several weeks ago. We played a letter to the American church. We had probably about 500 in attendance, which was really good, maybe a little bit more. And people really enjoyed that. You know, that movie is a great call to action, to stand up for the truth, to speak up. To not be passive, but to be a strong witness for the Lord. You know, all that's required for evil to triumph, as the famous saying goes, is for good people to do nothing. And so the letter to the American church, the book and the movie, the documentary, encourages Christians to stand up, to get involved, to be there at the school board meetings to hear what and know what your child is being taught in school. And it starts, you know, at that local level and goes up from there. And, you know, we can take back our communities for righteousness and for truth, but we have to get involved in order to do that. Obviously, not everybody is going to become a Christian. But that's not our job to decide that. We witness to everyone. We let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. We love people that are of different belief systems than ours. If they're Muslims, if they're Hindus, if they're whatever, that doesn't mean we treat them poorly. We love them, and we love them enough to tell them the truth. And we speak the truth in love. I liken it constantly to Noah. So Noah lived in a wicked, wicked, wicked age. Every intent of the thoughts of man's hearts was only evil continually, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6. And God said that there's one guy that found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was Noah. And God tapped him to build this boat. Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. Noah was no doubt brutalized in the media, so to speak, and people made fun of him and laughed at him. They had never seen rain. They didn't know what rain was, and he's saying there's going to be so much rain, it's going to be a flood. But here is the ark of safety. Here's the ark of salvation, a picture of Jesus. And that's what we do. We tell people, hey, you know, this world is going down. It's a sinking ship, but Jesus is our safety. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer and King. So, yeah, I would encourage you, Frank, to take a look at that, and That's a good movie to encourage you.
Pastor, I tried to take it to my church that I attend, and I don't know, it seems like it's not working out.
Yeah.
I spoke to the pastor about it, and he keeps putting it off. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, I mean, it's not a fellowship breaker, but I think it's a great movie, and I would encourage the pastor to read the book and to go from there. But it is something to alert the people to, and we can't bury our heads in the sand. We need to know what's going on, and we need to stand up for our freedoms so we can pass the baton to the next generation and say, you know, this is America, where it's the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we're not going to be able to do that if we don't stand up and fight for truth in our day and age. Well, God bless you, Frank. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate your comments. Well, we were talking about the armor of God. So what do we do as we get up in the morning? We rejoice in the Lord. We put on the full armor of God. And the Bible says, what is the full armor of God? Well, it's putting on the breastplate of righteousness, girding your loins with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the shoes, which are the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith, with which we'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And we take the helmet of salvation to guard our minds. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So all those things that Paul saw as he was chained to a Roman soldier, he saw that every day where he's incarcerated there. And in Rome. And then he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And so prayer is the thing that energizes it all as we pray and as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But let me just encourage you to be mindful of the armor of God and put on the armor of God every single day. And start your day with praise, with thanksgiving, and come before his courts with that praise, because God inhabits the praise of his people, and we do have a real enemy. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil, and those are real enemies, and you can't do it in your own strength. You can only do it in his strength. That's why it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Because you don't have strength, I don't have strength, we don't have strength, but he does. Well, we have Julio on the line from Texas. Julio, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, hey, buddy, good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. Hey, yes, sir, I was calling, trying to get some prayer, too. I was telling your call screener there that I have issues with being bold for Jesus sometimes. You know, I could hear somebody in the background, you know, either at a grocery store, waiting in line for some food, you know, talking. And I find myself, you know I can do it, but I don't. So that's one of my things that I have going on. And it's just one of those things that you think about. You know, you get home and you're just like, man, I could have really involved myself in that conversation right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I also have a... Mm-hmm.
Well, let me encourage you to pray something on a regular basis, Julio. My seminary president, Dr. Paige Patterson, encouraged all the students my first semester at seminary to do this. He said, pray three prayers. God, give me an opportunity today to witness to somebody for Jesus Christ, and help me to be sensitive. Prayer number two, sensitive when that opportunity comes to, you know, around. And then number three, and when it does come around, Lord, help me not to chicken out. And so he said, if you'll pray those three prayers every day, Lord, give me an opportunity today to witness. Lord, help me to be aware when that opportunity comes, and help me not to chicken out when that opportunity comes. He said, you'll be amazed at how many people God brings by your path each day so that you can witness to them. And it keeps you mindful of that. And that third prayer, you know, help me not to be afraid, help me not to chicken out. That is key. But you were going to say something else, Julio?
Yes, sir, I sure was. Yeah, man, it takes, excuse me, you know, it takes a little bit confidence to build up in order to say that. It's kind of embarrassing, but I feel if I say it, you know, more people could, or they would, sympathize with me because they might be going through the same thing, but I have a problem with lust. Mm-hmm. And that's what I need to get out of my mind. And your call, your awesome call screen, there's one that actually told me, I need to look up some scriptures, memorize that, and put it in my head. You know, anytime something like that happens, I feel as if I'm doing a decent job as a Christian, you know, a good job, and then, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's one of the things I don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, but that's it. I mean, if I, you know, you can, in the back of your head, when you're going to bed later, don't forget to pray for me. That's all I got to say.
All right, brother. I appreciate your honesty. So 2 Corinthians 10, you're not the only one that struggles with that. That's a struggle for most men. I would say 90%+ of men, that's a battle that we have to continually fight. And the scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And here's the key. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so let me just encourage you as I encourage myself and remind myself again, you can't let those things come through. You got to put a guard, a sentry at the door of your mind, and every thought that wants to get through, that sentry, that guard says, halt, who goes there? And if that's a thought, as Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. If it's a thought like that, you let it in. But if it's a sinful, lustful thought, you say, I'm turning you away. You take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And as we practice the presence of the Lord, because he's with us always, you just know, hey, when I'm tempted to look at something I shouldn't do, when I'm tempted to let my mind go into a lustful way, the Lord is right here with me. And that helps you a lot to know, hey, he sees this. He knows what I'm doing. And I don't want to dishonor him. He died for me in agony and blood. That's not going to bring me joy. Anytime we sin against the Lord, it always goes to the same place. Eventually, doesn't go immediately, but eventually it goes to the pigsty. That will lead me down a terrible, horrible path. And as James reminds us in James chapter 1, he says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Sin always brings death. Death to purity, death to wholesomeness, death to a pure relationship, death to marriage, death to family. It's just the thief comes only, Jesus said, to steal and kill and destroy. He's a death dealer. And the your flesh, that part of you that wants to be in charge, that selfish part of you that we all have to deal with, the residual from our old nature, it wants to follow the ways of the devil. It wants to satisfy itself. And that's why Galatians 5 says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We walk by the Spirit as we yield ourselves to Him. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And let me encourage you today and all the days that follow, start your day with praise, because God is worthy, worthy, worthy. He is over it all, and He will meet our deepest needs. Well, I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Go out and shine and share, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.